Tango Tango Papa 1913, June 19, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from a service plaza along the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So it's been, I don't know, quite a number of days since I made the last podcast. And pretty much I've been very busy in the meantime, and so just haven't had time to do much of anything along the lines of podcasting or of even putting videos up. I've put a couple of videos up in the past since the last podcast, but that's about it. One of the things, I am busier than, I do believe I'm busier than I used to be, but I will also say that I am, at this point, probably not as willing to, for whatever reason, to cut into my sleep time as I once was. And I don't know why. Really, that is the case, but nonetheless, it seems to be. So, so that it is, I guess it is what it is, as they say. So, I just, it's all about motivation, and I have to have the time to do it, but then on the other hand, if I'm not motivated to lose sleep, then I'm not motivated to lose sleep. So, but in any case, I've been kind of collecting stuff and wanting to do a podcast. Now, a couple of different people, well, actually, Ian sent me a link to a video. It's a fairly short video. Then I'm going to play the audio for it. And it really kind of goes along with what I've been saying for quite some time about you take the moral structure away and you have nothing. You take the moral structure of a country away and you have a mess. You have a bottomless pit on your hands. And that's basically what it's a fellow in this video is saying. But I'll be playing that, and then I've also, I found on my own, there was a clip from a recent Glenn Beck show, and he was talking about the biblical story of Lot and his daughters in Sodom, the ancient city of Sodom, and he has a kind of an interesting take on it. Not necessarily the take that I would have had on my own. The problem with the way some of the stories in the Bible are presented, apart from, I think the biggest problem is just the difference in time. And time kind of changes language, and the way things end up being presented, I think, can end up changing, and we're talking, in this case, thousands over thousands of years. And so the story of Lot, and I'll play the audio for this rather than re-explain it, but the story of Lot really is, are we making the same mistake today? And I believe once you hear him once you hear Glenn Beck's explanation of the story of Lot, at least just the part that he's talking about, it makes perfect sense. We are repeating the same mistakes. We really are. So I'm going to go ahead and play that first, about the story of Lot. And this is from a recent Glenn Beck radio program.
Do you remember the period of time in my life when my daughter was going to Fordham University and the priests at Fordham were teaching her that the Bible was not true?
Mm-hmm.
And the priests were teaching her that the Bible was not true and that the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God had nothing to do with homosexuality. Because remember, the angels came in and Lot took them in and said, stay in the house.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then what happened? Think of this. This is a fascinating story.
The people of Sodom came to visit. And
said, they
demanded,
didn't come to visit.
They demanded that the angels be sent outside.
So they could have sex
with them. Yes.
Right. So they were told. And what did Lot do?
Offered his daughter instead.
His virgin daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just remember this. I want to come back to this here in a second. So my daughter is being told that the homosexuality, that was just a way of greeting. This is what the priests were teaching. That was just a way of greeting, and it was a traditional greeting back then that you would say, hey, welcome to our town. I'm going to have homosexual sex with you now. No, seriously. And that was traditional, and it was normal back then, and that's what it was. It had nothing to do with the reason why they were destroyed.
So they were just knocking on the door to greet them with
They were too happy. They were too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's what she taught. She was taught. And she came back, and you remember the time where I couldn't even have a conversation with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had so drilled into her head that people like me had a problem with homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, honey, you know what I mean? How many homosexual friends we have, how many employees we have. That's no problem. We have no problem. Okay. She came to me about 3-4 months ago and she said, now being away from school now, she said, Dad, this is not what they were talking about. They're now forcing everybody to comply.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. honey, what I was talking to you about. That this had nothing to do with love. This had everything
tolerance,
to do with
none of
power.
That. Yeah.
Everything to do with power. And they are going to destroy. So she sees it now. That is really important. If the youth begins to see that this is not about love, because the argument used to be, what difference does it make if two people love each other and want to get married? Right, right. But that's not the agenda. Now they can see that's not the agenda here. Mm-hmm. The agenda is control and the destruction of anyone else who disagrees. So let me go back to the story of Lot. See if we're not repeating this. So Lot goes in, and the angels come, and they're just trying to find one good guy. They find Lot. He says it's not safe here. You can't be two strangers. You can't be two guys sleeping out on the streets. You got to come to my house. No, we're fine. No, you have to come to my house. They come. They have dinner. There's a knock on the door. It's the guys of the community, and they're like, you have two guys in there. Let them come out. We want to have sex with them. And Lot's like, no. In fact, guys, you can have my virgin daughters. Don't do this to them. They say, we're not taking your virgin daughter. We want those guys. Okay? That's the story of Lot in the Bible. Notice what Lot has done. Lot has offered something that he shouldn't have offered. Lot has said, in his language of his day, guys, don't force us to comply. Don't force us to comply. Here, have this. You can take this. Just don't do that. We don't want to do that. No, you will comply. It shows that even back then, the religious were willing to, they didn't want to fight. They don't want, they're not trying to control everybody. They're just saying, no, I don't want to participate. Think of this. Think of the gay floral, the people who won't do floral arrangements for gay mm-hmm. weddings. Think about the people who are bakers. Now there's another one with a DJ. They just say, I don't want to participate. That's what Lot was saying. We don't want to participate. And in exchange for not participating, I'll give you something I shouldn't be offering. But I'll compromise this far. But no further. We're making exactly the same mistakes, and they are making exactly the same demands as were happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. You will comply. No, guys, whatever you want to do outside, you do. But we're inside. We don't want to do that. You will comply. The question is, are there enough good people that will stand up without hatred, without trying to force somebody on their belief, and they'll just stand up and say, no, we're not going to comply. We're not going to do this. I am a man, and with that comes all of the rights given to me by God.
Okay, so there was the Glenn Beck clip, and that's an interesting take on that part of the story with Lot and his daughters and the two angels. Interesting take, and I think it fits. And I think the same thing is happening to us today. Different details. But the same things happen over and over again. People like to think, as I've said many times, oh, we're modern and we have all this knowledge, modern technology, and we know so much about the universe and so much about the world, and we're so much more advanced. No, we're not. The only thing that ever gets better is knowledge. The thing that never seems to change, the thing that never seems to really improve, is morals. They're sort of like a sine wave. If you plot them out, they kind of go up for a while, and then they go down, and they go up, and they go down. But when they go down, it is a bottomless pit. People don't want to believe that. They think, we'll just be reasonable. We'll compromise, and we'll just compromise and say that it's really okay to have abortions. It's really okay to kill your babies. If you don't want, if it's an unwanted byproduct of sex, it's okay to kill it. No, they won't stop there. Then you end up like China. I guess supposedly China's since relaxed the policy, but it could easily end up happening in other countries where they say, oh, you can only have one child. By penalty of law, you can only have one child. Well, or you end up with forced sterilizations, and that's happened over and over again in a lot of different countries, including the United States of America. So these things, these forces are always present. And if you take the morals away, and when I say morals, people have to do the right thing, not because the rule says that this is the right thing to do from the outside, but you have to want to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You follow the rules because, if you have enough people that are voluntarily following the rules, because the rules are the right thing to do, and they're voluntarily following those rules, then the system can work. Not perfect, but it can work. But once you take the moral structure away, And that's deliberately been taken away via the school system and stupid parents. Once you take that away, you've got chaos. You've got a mess on your hands. You've got a bottomless pit opening up. So I'm going to go ahead and play this other clip that Ian sent me the video for. I'm going to play the audio for it, and it's pretty well self-explanatory, so here that is.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. And I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah. I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
Okay, so there was the audio for the short video clip that Ian sent me the link to. So thank you, Ian. And I absolutely agree with that. If people don't voluntarily follow the law, and if you take religion away, they're not gonna voluntarily follow the law. If they don't, then democracy can't work. It won't work. As I've said before many times, if you take the ethics away, then once you've taken that away, and there's no self-restraint, you've taken all the self-restraint away, you can have the most marvelous constitution, the most marvelous set of rules that you can come up with, and it means nothing. If people don't have any ethics, they're not going to follow it. Why would they follow it? You're gonna tell a criminal you turn people into criminals. What's a criminal? A criminal is a person that doesn't have any ethics, doesn't have any self-control. You're going to turn society into a bunch of criminals and then try to tell them that, or expect that they're going to have, somehow they're going to have ethics and self-control and they're going to have respect for the law? Of course they're not going to have. It's every man for himself. We're seeing the results of that right now. You know, over the past number of years, we've all kind of watched in slow motion as things have deteriorated, and of course we want to blame the politicians. Oh, it's the politicians, they're encouraging it and what have you, and of course some of them are, but on the other hand, they're only taking advantage of what was already set in motion. And what was set in motion happened with the parents. Parents spoiling their kids. And then feeding them to the public education system. And I put the blame squarely on the parents for doing that. And of course the parents have all the excuses about how they can't afford private schooling and homeschooling and It goes on. The argument goes on and on. Well, at the end of the day, look at what's happened. We have a society of basement trolls. We have millions of them that they graduated from college now and they can't get a job and because they've been maleducated. And I was I want to tell a little story. I was a few days ago. I was at a meat packing plant. The load that I delivered this morning, I picked up at Schuyler, Nebraska. There's this meat packing plant. It's been there for probably quite a few years. Big place. They're processing beef, and so it's a huge place. And they've got lots and lots and lots of probably what you'd consider unskilled employees. And so I got there. It was probably about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The shift was changing. And so there was just this sea of people that were coming and going. And I had to, they were walking around the truck because of the way the truck entrance for this place is kind of right in the middle of the parking lot with all of these cars. And so I would say about 90% of the people, and it's no surprise because it's a food processing plant, and especially it's beef, they're Mexicans. But then beyond that, I'd say another 5%. I even thought I heard some Oriental voices talking, Oriental languages. It's mostly Mexican, and no surprise. It's been that way for years. And it made me realize, were it not for those Mexicans doing those jobs, and why is it that the Mexicans are willing to do those jobs? For whatever reason, they're willing and able to do those jobs, and there's lots of those jobs. And what was interesting, there were I saw a few white guys. There were like normal white Americans, or what you'd think of, because it's Nebraska after all, and there are blacks in Nebraska, but it's mostly a white state, especially the rural parts. And so did I say Schuyler? It was actually at Crete, Nebraska, where this was at. But anyway, it was a meatpacking plant at Crete, Nebraska. So I corrected myself there. Because there's another one in Schuyler, but that's a different one. This was in Crete. So they're willing to do the work. And then you have these white guys, but all the white guys were older. They looked like they were my age or maybe even older. Not much younger than me. I'm 60 now, and I saw some guys in their 50s, and I saw some that were at least 60 or maybe even older. Few white guys that were kind of coming and going, but it was mostly Mexicans. No younger white. What you'd consider a normal younger American, zilch. They were all Mexicans. They were all, 95% of them were immigrants. But I saw these white guys in there, and they were old. Where are the young ones? Where are the people that are complaining they can't get work? They could clearly get work here. Oh, but somehow it's beneath them. The jobs are beneath them. Remember President Bush said the Mexicans are doing the jobs Americans will no longer do. Well, and there were people that were not happy that he said that, but it's actually true. It's actually quite true. And it got me to thinking, were it not for the Mexicans, who would be working in that plant? There wouldn't be enough employees. Who would be manufacturing our food? Who would be processing our food? Were it not for those immigrants, were it not for the Mexicans, there would be no employees, or there wouldn't be enough employees. We'd be starving. And then you'd say, well, and I can hear some people say, well, that would cause them to have to raise their wages. Who's going to pay? Can you pay? Can you afford to pay more for your food? How many people can pay a lot more for their food than they are right now? How many people are already complaining about how expensive food is? Well, it would be a whole lot more expensive if were it not for those Mexicans working in those plants. But so there are plenty of jobs, but there are the people have spoiled their kids. They've spoiled their kids, given them everything in the world, dysfunctionalized them by sending them to public school, and ruining them. Because it's really doing your child. You think you're giving your child, and I hear all the excuses, well, I want my child to have it better than I did, and all that gobbledygook. It's nonsense. It's just a rationalization. People love to rationalize, and they come up with some really great rationalizations about how they're, so that they're able to see themselves as noble, that they're really doing the right thing, giving the kids the Xboxes and the TVs in their own room and their cars and God knows what else they give them. Just keep them, just get out of my hair. Go play in your room. Go play with, here I bought you this Xbox or whatever it is. But in the meantime, they don't teach them how to work. And in the meantime, they don't give them any moral instruction. Meaningful moral instruction. And so now we have the country that we have. So it got me to thinking, at best, the very best thing that can happen at this point to the United States of America, I don't know about other countries, but the best thing that can happen to the United States of America at this point is that it, from an outcome standpoint, is that it turns into a third world country. And we have more Mexicans that move in, and it's primarily Mexicans that move in and do those jobs, because they're doing the food processing right now. They have been for years. Most people don't realize that. Beef, they've been doing the beef and the pork and the produce. Been doing those jobs for years. Who's going to do those jobs? You going to get the little lily white kids that are spoiled? Going to get them to do it? Hell no. They're not going to come out of their basements. At worst, the worst outcome is that it's going to go to hell. We're going to end up in some sort of civil war. Or a very real possibility is we end up being attacked by Russia or some country like that. Because of the way we've behaved, or we've allowed our leaders to behave. Because, remember, the leaders are just a personification of what we are. We've turned into moral reprobates. And so guess who ends up representing us? The biggest moral reprobates of all. No surprise. So, I don't know what else there is to say. but it's, we've gone over the cliff. There's no recovery from this. There is no recovery from this. It's just a matter of time. You've got these the basement trolls. They're demanding. They have to have their way. They have to have their way. And you know, I knew a number of years ago that this was on the way. Because you have kids that don't have any dad, don't know who the dad is in a lot of cases. 50% of kids born outside of marriage don't know who the dad is. And you end up with a nightmare. There's no moral instruction. You know, and of course, then you have the people that are trying to say, well, we have better morals. Because we're teaching tolerance. But it's always tolerance for sin. It's tolerance for people that want to murder their babies and just have all the sex that they want in the world and murder their babies. Let's have tolerance. You can pretend. Those are pretend morals. You know, and you can think, you know, and that's the other problem. Once you're compromised, then you're looking at the world, especially from a moral standpoint, you're looking at the world backwards. And somehow you think that your perception is going to change reality. Perception, I have news for you, perception does not change reality. Bruce Jenner is still a male. I don't care what surgery he's had or what he's had chopped off or what he's had augmented. Bruce Jenner is still a male, and there's nothing that can change that. You can try to perceive all day long that he's a woman. He's not. We come into the world expecting our parents to be self-correcting, intuitive, enlightened beings. And what do we find out? We find out that they're just part of a dysfunctionalized human herd of animals. Human beings are herd animals. And it pretty much alludes to that in the Bible. The language, what does the Bible talk about? It's talking about the flock all the time. Talks about the flock quite a bit. The word flock pops up quite a bit. It's talking. So there's a large chunk of the population that will just go along to get along. They're part of the flock, and they just kind of do what they copy the people that are around them, and they just sort of, they'll do whatever those people are doing. And they don't really think about it. They're not really, they just kind of go along with whatever it is, because that's what, they just copy the behavior of the people that are around them, the behavior of the ideas. And, it's a problem. If the wrong people end up getting in charge, and then those people, the flock people, basically they're human monkeys, just begin to do whatever the herd does, they do it. Don't have any self-control, don't have any real self-awareness. They're aware, but they're not really self-aware. There's something missing from their perceptions. And they all go over the cliff. So we've raised an entire generation that is separated from, As far as they can, they've separated them from any kind of common sense, any kind of God-given identity. They've separated them from that. They've made that into an enemy. And once that's done, there's no recovery from it. The next generation just becomes worse and worse and worse. And they're more and more demanding, just like the story with Lot and the and the people on the street demanding that he send the male angels outside so they could, quote-unquote, know them, so they could have sex with them. Human beings are at a real disadvantage when it comes to being able to acknowledge reality. Acknowledging reality requires us to acknowledge our own state of sin. And, of course, what do? We spend our lives running away from that. We don't want to know that. Oh, I don't want to know that I have any problem. And so reality then is very threatening. And, you know, and of course these, the younger people, the ones that their parents have really done them a disservice, they've sent them to public school, and of course there are a lot of them that are just really bitterly angry, and they just want to tear the system down. You know, so these, you know, angry people that have managed to ruin their ability to accurately perceive reality, then want to force other people to perceive things the same way they do. And of course, they erroneously think that it's going to help them feel better about themselves. And of course, it can't. It cannot. So, for example, let's take an angry woman that's had an abortion. You know, the angry feminist types. They've had their abortion, and then they feel guilty about it. You can't, it's very, very difficult to really kill your conscience. Usually you just end up with a bigger and bigger and bigger conscience. And it's very difficult to kill that. They just think, well, I'm clinically depressed. I've got to take my depression medication. Why are you depressed? Oh, I have a brain imbalance. Well, why do you have a chemical imbalance in your brain? They think it just happened. Somehow it just evolved. It just happened. So they want to force other people to do the same thing, you know, to perceive things the same way they do. And they think somehow it's going to make them feel better. And then, of course, that doesn't work. And so they've got to try harder. How am I going to force? I'll force every woman in the world to have an abortion. And in that way, we're all going to feel better about it. Is the thinking. Or in the story of Lot, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will force everybody to have sex, and then that way it's going to make it normal. We won't feel as bad about it. Force everybody. Make everybody do it. Make everybody participate, and that'll make it normal. It'll be utopia. What I'm doing is going through these notes. I've made a bunch of notes. So if you're cut off from your creator, then you're at the mercy of any bully that happens to come along. Idolaters carry their own broken reality perceptions. So in other words, if you're an idolater, if you're an idolater, and you can be idolizing whatever it is, and I'm going to pick on the Apple people again, because they love to say that Steve Jobs had a quote-unquote reality distortion field, and some people say Tim Cook still has that so-called, or Apple has a reality distortion field. No, it doesn't. Where is the reality distortion? The reality distortion field is in the mind of the idolater. So whatever it is you idolize, is in the same way beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You've always heard that, the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And that's absolutely true. Well, in the same way, idolaters, if someone is idolizing something, then the fascination with it is in the mind of the idolater. So, therefore, idolaters carry their own broken perception of reality. And so, what has ended up happening with the basement trolls? What are they? You know, I hear people throw this term around, useless eaters. And in a real sense, these are useless eaters, because they're not producing anything. They just want to tear, they're angry, they want to tear the system down. They're really useless. They're not producing anything. They, you know, God forbid that they would work, get their hands dirty. You would never catch them working at a meatpacking plant. They might get their poor little hands dirty, get some dirt under their fingernails, or, you know, heaven forbid, they'd smell some cow poop. So what else do we have here? Real morality is threatening to the moral reprobate. I think that's pretty well self-explanatory, because anything that's real, if you have someone that's sort of morally reprobate, anything that smirks or kind of smacks of genuine morality, of course they don't want it. They want the fake. They want somebody to love them and make them feel better about themselves. And kind of along the same lines, those who are vehemently anti-God have bad behavior they either want to hide or have sympathy with. Now, that's worth understanding. So you have the people that are really atheists, that are, you know, not just sort of, oh, I'm atheist, but the people that are rampantly atheist, to the point where they've kind of turned their atheism into a religion, and they're sort of atheist fundamentalists. And those kind of people, you know, they're always putting religion down and making fun and ridiculing a belief in God and what have you. Kind of yucking it up. Guarantee you, if you look at their behavior, you look in their existence, look in their lives, they've got either bad behavior that they want to hide or have sympathy with. And it's so predictable. I mean, usually these people aren't the moral, they're not the paragons of moral virtue. They got something that they want to, in other words, they have an agenda, and there's a reason they have an agenda. And the agenda is that they're guilty folks. They're guilty people. So salvation from, you know, what is salvation? And in a sense, salvation is from the fate of the herd, the human herd. Human beings are herd animals. You know, if you take God out of the equation, human beings are just intelligent herd animals, but herd animals nonetheless. And what does a herd animal do? It just responds to whatever the greatest pressure is. It goes along with the herd. Whatever the herd does, it does. And so if you take God out of that equation, and you separate a human being from the creator, and you end up with a herd animal. So salvation is, in a sense, salvation is a salvation from the fate of the herd. And what's the fate of the herd? Most herds end up, a lot of herds end up getting slaughtered. So in a sense, salvation is salvation from the fate of the herd. And along the lines with the angry atheists, a God-driven universe implies moral standards. And so these people are jumping through all kinds of hoops, just endless numbers of hoops, to try to come up with some reason how there can be explanations of how there can be, you know, the universe just sort of happened, and human beings, life just sort of happened, and so, somehow it just happened. And they're trying to say, evolution explains how that happens. It's a process, and it just kind of naturally happened, and what have you, blah, 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 blah. But they don't want any moral standards. Don't want any order or any kind of moral standards. And so a God-driven universe implies moral standards. You know, so. And I think that pretty much covers my notes that I had. I've been playing with... there's a program that's been around for a long time in different forms. And it's a Microsoft product. And it's called Microsoft OneNote. They've actually made that free, and they've got different versions. They've got a version for iPad. They've got a version for Android, and I think you can probably also access them on the web. And they've got the free part of it, and then if you want more the extensive thing, then you get the Microsoft Office. You pay the annual fee for that, but you can use OneNote along with their cloud service for free, and it actually works pretty good. And so I've been playing with that. And another app that I really like that I've been playing with the past I heard about it on a podcast a few days ago, and I installed it today. I installed it on my iPad as well. It's called Google Photos, and it's pretty neat. The idea with Google Photos now is that you install the app, and then it syncs whatever photos you have. Let's say it's on your phone or your iPad or whatever. Syncs those to the cloud, and you say, well, big deal. There's a lot of things that sync to the cloud. Well, now it is kind of a bigger deal because it is... unlimited storage, as long as you allow them to manage the size of the photos. The default setting is it says high quality, but let us manage the size to reduce the size of the photos. If you do that, then it's unlimited storage. Now, if you check the thing where it says upload the original file size, then you can end up running out of space, and then you have to pay for extra space, a fee for it. So, but the idea with this is that you let it, you install it onto the device, and it automatically backs up your photos and videos to Google servers. And then once you log on with another device, let's say, I have my phone and I put it on the phone to start with, and it I've got a bunch of photos on the phone, so it pushed the photos from the phone up to the Google Cloud. Then I've installed it on, let's see, where else did I install it? I installed it on the Samsung tablet that I have, and it automatically just, it doesn't sync everything back. What it does, it syncs thumbnails, and you can actually zoom in and zoom out. And they're very high quality images. And then if you want to download the photo, you tap on it, and then it's going to download the whole thing and give you the high quality image. But and then I put it on the iPad today, And then right now the iPad's in the process. I had a bunch of photos on the iPad, and it's in the process of uploading those photos to the server. So once I make it home, there's also apps for that you can install on Windows or a Mac. And so once I make it home, I'm going to, you know, one of the Mac Minis that I have that I use, I am going to install that uploader on it, the Google Photos uploader, and then plug in one of the drives. I have some drives that I have stored photos on as scanned negatives. I've got gigabytes probably of scanned negatives. I probably remember me talking about that in the past, scanning those negatives in. It was kind of a lengthy process. But I finally got it all done. And so I've got those backed up onto several different hard drives. And so I will plug that in, and then the Google uploader, and just turn it loose and tell it upload. So once that happens, it's going to be interesting, because it's unlimited, and I'm, you know, and of course it's not so much about backup as it is, I have access to every photo, essentially every photo that I've ever taken. On mobile, on my phone, for example. So let's say I'm at a relative's house, or I'm with relatives, and I'm talking, or I think I want a photo, then I know that I've taken a photo at some point, and I'd love to see this photo that I took 20 or 30 years ago. I'll be able to, once everything is uploaded into the Google server, I will be able to dig through that and find it. And so that's the benefit of it. It's not so much about backup, because I've got backups. I've got backups of backups. Can't ever have too many backups. So this really isn't so much about backing up as it is, although it is a backup, obviously, it is more about I have access to all the photos that I've ever taken. And that's a big thing. That's quite an amazing thing, and I'm really pleased with the way this app works. It's really slick. So it's called Google Photos. So anyhow, probably better be cutting this off, getting headed to bed. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.